That has more.
The president is keenly aware that inflation and the economy were top issues for voters this election. Today, he was asked directly what he would say to those voters who wanted him to bring down everyday costs. The president calling this a short-term disruption, saying Americans will understand.
At least six top FBI officials were told to retire Friday or be fired. And sources say the group targeted are those tied to former special counsel Jack Smith's investigations. Six people on board a medical flight died when it plunged from the sky into a Philadelphia neighborhood Friday. An American Israeli, Keith Siegel, released from Hamas captivity after nearly 16 months. Three hostages were freed in exchange for 183 Palestinian prisoners. This is ABC News. Firefighters in California say both of the major fires that devastated the Los Angeles area last month are now fully contained. There's also criminal charges, not for starting the fire, but for an incident during the firefighting process.
Curious spectators who fly hobby drones around wildfires have become a real problem for firefighters. It's illegal to fly a drone around a wildfire because they're a danger to firefighting aircraft. Now 56-year-old Peter Ackerman is facing a federal charge tracked down by the FBI for allegedly flying a drone that hit and damaged a Super Scooper firefighting aircraft above the Palisades fire. Acting U.S. Attorney Joseph McNally.
He was curious about what was happening in that area.
Ackerman could get up to a year in federal prison. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
South Carolina executed its third inmate in 4 months, Martin Bowman Jr., for the 2001 shooting death of a woman. He maintained his innocence. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Donald Trump did not campaign on stopping Meals on Wheels to homebound seniors. He did not tell you he was going to cut road safety projects or state-based homeland security initiatives. But that was always the plan. And while a judge late yesterday hit the pause button, it has been a busy 18 hours as people and agencies and businesses took in that gut punch.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
That ordered agencies to temporarily pause all activities related to the distribution of federal financial assistance. Officials stress it's meant for programs to show their priorities align with the new administration and that direct aid from things like Social Security and SNAP won't be disrupted. But Richard Fiesta with the Alliance for Retired Americans notes the psychological effect in this part of the U.S.
It would be much more important to have these programs on time and ready to go rather than this chaos we're seeing.
A judge on Tuesday temporarily blocked the pause from taking effect, but that order only lasts until Monday. Democrats and even some Republicans in Congress took issue with the administration's actions amid questions about legal authority. And those criticizing the move say as the situation plays out, even a temporary pause in funding could be very harmful to services like Head Start and suicide prevention hotlines. Fiesta worries some programs could look very different after agencies are reviewed by White House budget leaders.
We could see much more strain on the healthcare system in general, on hospitals. You could see a ripple effect because of inability to get care.
He points to Medicaid playing a big role in funding rural health care networks, including nursing home costs. Policy experts say drastic cuts, no matter how they're carried out, could put more pressure on state budgets. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei-Olson.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Breezy with snow today, highs in the mid-30s. For tonight, drizzle or freezing rain will see a chance of snow late, a low around 31. South winds continue to gust to 30 miles per hour. Near 50 for Sunday, becoming mostly sunny, and 23 Sunday night.
It's 24 right now.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, we'll talk about the controversy over how test scores are rated in Wisconsin schools and connect the dots to neglect from the legislature.
Weekday morning starting at 6.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Pump day!
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer, and riding the camel a bit late into the week. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on this Friday, TGIF, January 24th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite here as we end the week. Kind of overcast skies, temperatures are moderating. Get out, enjoy the great natural outdoors all across the state of Wisconsin this week, and you'll feel better. Take a walk in one of our great state parks. I'm not sure if there's enough snow up north yet to go snowmobiling, but maybe cross-country skiing. And Zommers, for those listening, it is not Wednesday.
It is not Wednesday. Look, you know, I do my best to keep the camel corralled all week, but right. Sometimes he just gets too excited.
He's excited for the weekend. Well, it's good to have you along. And by the way, today's show is unofficially brought to you by Clorox Wipes. There is the crud, the norovirus. People are sick around here, and knock on an empty head here and throw some salt over my shoulder and say an extra prayer at church this weekend. You and I have remained healthy, Zommers. The secret is to get in as late as possible and leave as soon as the show is over.
Pretty much. Hey, we're just trying to stay healthy here.
That's right. Exactly. A big show today coming up at the bottom of the hour. Brady Ewing, three-time Big Ten champion of the Wisconsin Badger football team, spent 3 years in the NFL. And now, of course, from our hometown, my hometown, Richland Center, he's going to be on with us at 12:30, as per usual, every other Friday, talking a little bit about the NFL playoffs coming up this weekend. The draft, of course, coming to Wisconsin and Green Bay in April. He knows all about that. Should be a great time had by all. Then in hour two, it's What's Worse. I can't wait for this one. It involves television commercials, particularly those in Wisconsin. So that's going to be What's Worse. And then at 1:30, our old friend Peter Rapine, managing editor of EPOM's World, will be along to give us a humorous look at the week in review. But Zommers, the coach of the Michigan team, Jim Harbaugh, his dad used to say, you know, who's better or who lives better than we do? Nobody. Who's luckier than us? Nobody, because our lieutenant governor of the state of Wisconsin, Sarah Rodriguez, is back with us within a couple of weeks here. We are so thankful and honored to have her. She is appearing in her official capacity from her office just up the street in the Wisconsin State Capitol. Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez, a pleasure. Happy TGIF Friday to you.
Happy Friday to you, too. I appreciate you having me.
It is always our pleasure. Speaking of the weekends, I know you love Wisconsin in your capacity as lieutenant governor. You get out and travel around. Are there any winter spots that you really enjoy going to, you and your family, around the state of Wisconsin?
So I do some snowshoeing. I have snowshoes, and I go to some of the state parks to be able to do that. So I really, really enjoy that, particularly around the Delafield area, a little bit west of us. Mm-hmm. I like to do that. I do also, I'm an archery instructor, and sometimes I have
really?
Fun going,
wow.
I know. And I don't shoot at moving things because right. partially because of skill level. But also
I bet you're being really modest, but go ahead.
Yeah. I know. So I would get out sometimes in our state parks and do that too. And if there's not too much snow, it's kind of fun to be able to go out and do that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, we're so blessed, as we said at the top of the show, to have a state where, you know, so many different activities across the state of Wisconsin. We don't have to go far to enjoy all of those. I want to get into a little bit of the Governor Tony Evers' State of the State address earlier this week. Of course, we carried that here on Civic Media in its entirety, along with Republicans' response from Speaker Robin Voss. I thought I've sat through a lot of these. I helped put some of them together back when I worked in the legislature, not directly for the governor, but in the responses and whatnot. It was the longest one, I understand, from Associated Press reporter Scott Bauer. I thought it was one of his better ones. I'm not just saying that because you were here. It was meaty, but what I liked about it was that, to me, as a former Republican who left the party in 2011, it didn't really seem, to me at least, all that controversial. I mean, you know, when you declare, the governor declared 2025 the year of the kid, it seems like there should be some common ground there, Lieutenant Governor.
Yeah, what I heard, number one, I thought he did a really great job, because what I heard from the governor and his speech is he was talking about things that he really passionately cares about. Mm-hmm. And we know that he's an educator. We know he's worked within education his entire career. He cares about kids. And that is what he was talking about during his State of the State address. And you're right. So many of it should be a bipartisan solutions, because many of the things he was talking about, Wisconsinites want us to be able to do. And whether that's addressing the mental health of our kids, whether that's making sure they're safe at school, making sure our kids aren't hungry. I mean, these are pretty basic things that we know that Wisconsinite wants and want us to be able to work together to move those things forward.
Speaking of the outdoors a couple of minutes ago, I thought it was a poignant moment and so important that Governor Evers, the first thing he did when he got into talking about gun reforms in this state and mental health, he singled out and he said that Wisconsin has a rich heritage of supporting hunting and trapping and fishing in this state, and he doesn't want anything to change that. I thought that was really the right way to start. And then he got into, you know, talking about things like background checks, red flag laws, which means that people are in danger of harming themselves or others, that they can either turn their weapons in themselves, or that they, if necessary, they can be taken away until they get themselves a better mental health state. And then restoring the 40-hour waiting period in Wisconsin to buy a firearm. As someone who owns firearms, I used to do a lot of gun deer hunting. I still go bird hunting, pheasant and turkey. As a sportsman, those don't seem unreasonable to me. And I think that most people that hunt would agree.
And they do. When you ask them, when we survey people across Wisconsin, they do agree with that. You have gun owners that think it's reasonable to have background checks. You have gun owners that think it's reasonable to have a waiting period. And we know, so I'm a nurse by background. I was an ER nurse for a long time. And, you know, suicide and homicide is something that we know is associated with owning a firearm. And if we have those 48 hours between purchasing and being able to pick up that firearm, we know it reduces suicide rates. We know it reduces homicides. So it's just, they really are common sense solutions.
And I think for you know, people in my former party that represent perhaps more rural areas of the state, look, I can tell you where I'm from, and I know you have roots back in Richland County, there have been, unfortunately, several deaths in the last year, death by suicide. In our rural communities, our ag producers, our farmers are facing extraordinary financial difficulty. And unfortunately, which doesn't get talked about, I know Pam Yonke at Midwest Farm Report has, I know that you and the governor have, but what doesn't get enough airtime is the mental health struggles of our ag community.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's heartbreaking. And we need to be more open about these things. The governor has put in $300 million for mental health services, whether that's for kids within the school system, but a real emphasis on mental health across Wisconsin. And we know that COVID exacerbated some of those issues, whether it was in our school kids or off in some of our more rural communities that were more isolated. And so, again, these are common sense type of things that we can use our dollars for on the state level to be able to provide services that people need.
And what I thought was interesting, like your take on this, is that, look, you know, I don't want to say I get it because I don't, but if our Republican friends on the other side of the aisle don't want to go with what I think are sensible reform laws for firearms, because what we hear a lot is, well, it all comes down to mental health. Well, it turns out the governor's got you covered on that as well, because he wants to put in, you know, $66 million for victims of crime, number one, and then this, as you said, for mental health, and particularly for kids in our public and private schools. It would seem to me that's where you want to go then.
Right. Like either what, right? Like we can do both, right? We can do some common sense legislation relative to firearms. But if you truly believe that it is simply a mental health issue, and it's always more complicated than that, well, then let's put some funding in that. Let's make sure that the kids have the services that they need. Let's make sure that our rural farmers are getting mental health services. I had done a healthcare workforce task force this last year, and one of the things that came up over and over again is that we do not have enough mental health providers. And so being able to put funding into that to provide the services, to get more folks within Wisconsin being able to provide mental health and counseling, that's really, really important for making sure that people can do what they need to do and to take care of their families. We know that if you do not take care of your mental health, all sorts of other things are going to be a struggle within your life, whether that's being able to afford housing, whether that's being able to take care of yourself in other ways. Are you taking your blood pressure medication on time? These things we know happen. So if we can address some of these issues relative to mental health, those are going to be able to have absolutely exponential effects in all sorts of other areas. You'll be able to work more hours. There's an economic benefit to taking care of people's mental health. So those are the kind of things that I'm hopeful for as we go into this budget negotiating season, that the Republicans on the other side of the aisle are going to take a very serious look at and be able to make sure that those things are approved in the governor's budget.
About two and a half minutes left before our first break here. I thought perhaps the best line of Governor Evers' speech this week was, quote, "Wisconsinites don't expect us to be perfect, but they do expect us to be pragmatic," unquote. I think that sums up. I mean, most Wisconsinites are like, you know, I get it. You know, politicians are going to politic, but geez, at least they should get something done. Just do something, get something done. And when it comes to, you know, prescription drugs and childcare, how many times as we've traveled with this show around the state, do we hear from urban Milwaukee to rural Amory, childcare is a huge issue, and also for particularly our seniors, the amount of drugs they pay in prescription drugs, that's life-changing, and the governor is proposing something there.
Absolutely. So there are, you know, trying to reduce costs for folks, whether that's reduce the cost of food by providing free meals within the school system for kids so that they aren't hungry and they can just focus on learning. Reducing the cost of prescription drugs, like you talked about, so reducing the cost of healthcare overall, and then reducing the cost of housing. That's another thing that has come up when I've been across Wisconsin. We know that there's a shortage of housing. We know that there's a shortage of housing that people can't afford. And so that is also part of the governor's proposal, is how do we affect people's pocketbooks?
Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez is our guest. Stay with us. We're going to come back and talk more to her, with her, about the governor's state of the state, and also a personal side, as some of these national issues have landed here in the state of Wisconsin. It's the Town Hall Ball Show for a TGIF Friday, along with Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on Air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6th rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 21 now past the hour of 12 noon on this TGIF edition, Friday, January 24th, 2025. Glad to have you along. Zommers on the board. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, former Wisconsin Badger Brady Ewing, three-time Big Ten champion, spent 3 years in the NFL, talking a little bit about the NFL playoffs and also having the draft in a couple, 3 months here. Up in beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin. And then Peter Rapine is in an hour two with a humorous look at the Week in Review. Right now, we are honored to have the Lieutenant Governor of the state of Wisconsin, Sarah Rodriguez, joining us from her office in the state capitol just up the street. Quickly, Governor, before we go back to the serious stuff, are you excited about the draft? Are they going to get you into the draft?
Oh, I would love to. I'm not sure, though. I mean, I'm very, very excited about the draft. I know Green Bay is very excited right. about the draft. I can't wait to see what is going to happen in Green Bay. I think it's great.
Yeah, they had great tourism and great for the economy. And we'll talk more about that as it gets a little bit closer. Back to Governor Tony Evers' State of the State address, which we carried along with the Republican response this week here on Civic Media. I want to play a clip. We are now into the end of week one of the Donald Trump 2.0 presidency. It has been eventful, to say the least, and the governor addressed it a little bit in his State of the State. Here's Governor Evers from this week.
Let's agree to be honest about the fact that the story of our state's success today is told in the labor of over 3 million Wisconsinites, including tens of thousands of workers whose only transgression to date was not having the good fortune of being born in this country. Let's agree that we can continue to be a state that enforces our laws when and if they are broken, but still embraces our shared history and all those who have helped write our Wisconsin story, from our native nations to the generations of immigrants who came after. And let's agree that if you work, obey the law, pay taxes, and contribute to our communities and play by the rules just like everyone else, you should have a fair shot at continuing to pursue the American dream.
Governor Tony Evers in the State of the State address this week. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. Look, we believe in truthfulness and transparency on this show. There are a lot of reasons I admire and respect you and like you. You grew up in attachments to my hometown, Calhoun County, Richland County, in a dairy farm. You're an RN like my aunt. But you and I also share something unique, or not unique, but similar. My two godsons, their mom, Miko Madre, great word. So there's no word in English, just a singular word to say the parents of my godsons. Where in Spanish, you get to say just comadre, right? But she's from El Salvador originally. So my godsons are half Salvadoran and Latino. You married into a Latino family. I think that any time that we can share personal stories, it breaks down barriers. If you don't mind, if I can ask you to talk a little bit personally about what this issue means to you.
Well, you're right. So I married into a man who grew up in Mexico, and he's a naturalized citizen, and he's more than that, right? So he works in IT. He's a great father to our two kids. He's, you know, works within the community. And I really appreciate that Governor Evers talked about the contributions of immigrants within Wisconsin, because pretty much all of us, and including me, like my background is Norwegian, German, English. we all came here however many generations ago as immigrants. And those are the kind of things that make Wisconsin special. It makes us a welcoming place to be. And when we have that rhetoric coming out of the federal government, it can be really scary for communities. And I've since go to a minority majority school where it's a dual language program, and they're hearing rumors about what's happening out within the community. Some of them, many of them are not true, but we know communities are scared. And so they don't want to get caught up by just the way that they look. And we want to make sure that Wisconsin is a welcoming place. And again, repeating what Governor Evers says, we are also a nation of laws. And so we want to make sure that people are following those laws, that we have safe communities, but we want to be able to welcome folks.
One of my favorite all-time political cartoons was of two Native Americans on shore watching the Mayflower come into the bay, and one said to the other, what do you think? Do we need an immigration policy? I mean, unless you're, unless you're Native, we've all, to your point, we all come from somewhere.
Yeah, we do.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. It gives you, as a lawmaker, as a Wisconsin leader, I think empathy, compassion, and understanding, and someone who can bridge, because I think so many people in our communities across Wisconsin, maybe you've never had the opportunity to have a person of color or a Latino or whatever be a friend or hang out with you. And so we get looped into these stereotypes, and it doesn't matter what kind of minority you are. Once you know someone, you find out, oh, geez, they're just human, just like you and me.
Right. It's hard to demonize people you know, right? It's hard to demonize people that you know and then you like.
Right.
And so I think if we expand our circle and we understand where people are coming from and why they might be scared within the community, you know, those are the kind of things we need to be having those conversations. What do we want? What are the values that we want to be able to embrace here in Wisconsin?
Left about 2.5 minutes for you. I want to talk a little bit about, because you and the governor have been very adamant going around the state of Wisconsin. I know the governor's been to all 72 counties every term he's been in office. You get up there a lot. And I know you've heard about Wisconsinites struggling economically, and you hear that. Yep.
I do. When I go all across the state, I honestly don't care where I'm at. If I am in urban areas, rural areas, on tribal lands, suburban areas, we know that people have some struggles economically, and we shouldn't ignore that, which is why, like I was saying earlier, that's what the governor wants to focus on. Because we know if we focus on our kids, what's good for our kids is good for the state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And so focusing on some of those three areas that people are talking to us about, whether it's the cost of food and making sure that kids don't go hungry, whether it's the cost of healthcare, lowering those prescription costs, or the cost of housing. These are three areas that would have direct impact on people's pocketbooks. And the governor has said multiple times before, he is absolutely willing to give relief on taxes for individuals as long as it's focused not on the wealthiest among us, but on the people who could actually need it.
Yeah. Sarah Rodriguez, our Lieutenant Governor of the state of Wisconsin, on the side of working people, on the side of just good old Wisconsinites, and a cheerleader for our state. That's what we need more of, Lieutenant Governor. We love it that you do that for us. So thank you. We appreciate your time and appreciate you being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure. Welcome back anytime, Sarah Rodriguez. Stay with us. Brady Ewing is next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Tariffs on the nation's three largest trading partners go into effect today. Prices on goods from Mexico, Canada, and China could increase. Experts say the average American family will pay an extra $830 this year. ABC's Rachel Scott has more.
The president is keenly aware that inflation and the economy were top issues for voters this election. Today, he was asked directly what he would say to those voters who wanted him to bring down everyday costs. The president calling this a short-term disruption, saying Americans will understand.
At least six top FBI officials were told to retire Friday or be fired, and sources say the group targeted are those tied to former special counsel Jack Smith's investigations. Six people on board a medical flight died when it plunged from the sky into a Philadelphia neighborhood Friday. An American-Israeli Keith Siegel released from Hamas captivity after nearly 16 months. Three hostages were freed in exchange for 183 Palestinian prisoners. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks get blown out. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuskin with Civic Media Sports. Milwaukee gave up 70 points in the first half and 45 points in the third quarter as the San Antonio Spurs routed the Bucks 144-118. Damian Lillard had 22 points for the Bucks in the loss.
We just allowed them to be comfortable. We weren't sharp enough. We weren't focused enough from the tip. And they got going. And even though, we got some firepower offensively too, I think when you're on the road, it's harder to sustain that and count on that when you're not getting stops.
Milwaukee is back home tomorrow night to take on Memphis. The Brewers avoided arbitration, signing catcher William Contreras to a one-year deal with a club option for 2026. Contreras will make $6 million this year with a club option for $12 million next season. Milwaukee has now signed all arbitration-eligible players for the upcoming season. Spring training begins later this month. College Hoops number 9 Marquette takes on 25th-ranked UConn tonight at 7 p.m. on National Marquette Day. Number 17 Wisconsin is at Northwestern with a tip time of 1 p.m. With Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Breezy with snow today, highs in the mid-30s. For tonight, drizzle or freezing rain will see a chance of snow late, a low around 31. South winds continue to gust to 30 miles per hour. Near 50 for Sunday, becoming mostly sunny, and 23 Sunday night.
It's 24 right now.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Last April, federal cybersecurity agency CISA issued warnings to election officials on how to combat a Russian online scheme to mislead American voters in the 2024 election. CISA is now under attack by its own administration. The Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency Act was signed by President Donald Trump in 2018, with part of its mission to protect election systems. It played a vital role in hardening state and local computer systems prior to the 2024 election, supporting state election officials, and monitoring hacking and disinformation campaigns perpetrated by Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea. After the 2020 election, it refuted Trump's false claims that the 2020 election was manipulated. Trump fired its director, and CISA was targeted by Project 2025 for a dramatic overhaul, with some conservatives calling for the agency's elimination. Just before inauguration, President Biden issued an executive order requiring new CISA cybersecurity standards be implemented, but Trump immediately revoked it January 20th. CISA's highly qualified director, Jen Easterly, resigned on Inauguration Day. New Secretary of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, said in her confirmation hearing, CISA had strayed from its mission by monitoring disinformation. As governor of South Dakota, she refused federal funding to harden cyber systems, calling it wasteful spending. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey K., joins to reflect on the legacy of the birthday boys, Thomas Paine and FDR. Also, will tariffs on Canada and Mexico lower prices for Wisconsinites? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays, 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
But baby, it's cold outside. But baby, it's cold outside. Been hoping that you drop in. I'll hold your hands, they're just like ice.
Welcome back to the Todd Alba Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 34 now past the hour of 1 o'clock on a TGI Friday, January 24th, 2025. Zommers on the board. Appreciate all of you from the shores of Lake Superior down to the shores of Lake Michigan, from Green Bay to the Mississippi River and all places in between across the state of Wisconsin and around the world in the Civic Media app on a Friday. And all you folks watching us on the stream, thank you. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, big listening, viewing audience today. Glad I dressed up a little bit. So thanks. And for those that tune in, here's the benefit if you watch us on, and of course you can listen to us for free on the Civic Media app as well, but on the video part of it, the streaming, we have kind of a, you know, a secret show. You can see us while we're off mic getting ready. And sometimes it's fun, and sometimes you're like, why did I do this? But it's usually fun. And one of the people that always make it a lot of fun every other Friday is our great friend, star of stage and screen, the finest Brooklyn has to offer, Mr. Peter Rapine, the managing editor of E-Bombs World. Peter, how the heck are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm a little cold today. I've been a little cold all week. Probably not as cold as you guys have been.
Well, not as cold as down in New Orleans. So the Milwaukee Bucks were down in New Orleans for an NBA game, and it got canceled because of snow, and they had to fly back to Milwaukee.
Yeah. there's a joke in there about climate change or global warming.
Right,
I didn't quite have it.
There's no, right? I mean, basically, we're all screwed, but anyway.
Yeah, thanks, Al Gore.
Right. Peter, of course, is the managing editor for EPOM's World, and he comes to us with the week in review every other week. And it's important, Peter, we always like to start out by saying, this is not fiction, and it's not made up either. these are real stories of real, actual, wacky human beings.
I know I say it every week, but we're funny. But I like to think our team is funny, but we're not that funny.
So, but you and your team scour the interwebs, the newspapers, the columns, mm-hmm. to bring us the best of human behavior, or the worst.
Yes, we like to do the highs and the lows. I think this week won't disappoint. I hope
All right. Well, let's get right into it, Peter Rapine. First headline of the week.
All right, this one we have some audio to go along with it as well. Mm-hmm. And it's an experience I think most people have felt, but no one has ever actually gotten to actualize like the main character in this video did. So headline reads, flight attendant gets sick of crying babies, starts singing half-assed lullabies to the whole plane.
Headline, flight attendant gets sick of crying babies, starts singing half-assed lullabies to the whole plane. Explain, Peter Rapine.
Well, the short of it is there was a flight. Not really sure where it was going or where it was coming from, but it was filled with babies who needed a nap. And at some point in the flight, one of the attendants clearly was fed up. And so he gets on the mic and he gets, I think it's probably best if Zombie can play the clip and we can hear it.
All right, here we go. A flight attendant who is sick of babies crying on the plane.
Make any noise on the flight. Just go to sleep. Close your eyes, go to sleep, 99, 99, just go to sleep.
That is magical. Magical. The fact that he knew like the melody, but knew none of the words and made it up. Right?
What's the over under on how many crying babies were on the flight? 5, 6, 7? Like,
I bet you, I'm gonna guess, because one or two you think, okay, I bet the over under is 5.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think that's a safe bet.
Yeah.
I think 3, you probably don't get that annoyed. Yeah. I wonder if he got in trouble. I doubt it. I hope not.
I
wonder if there's like a memo went out like, hey guys, we know you think you're funny, but it's really not that funny. We don't want to go viral on TikTok or stuff like this.
But I think he speaks for a lot of us, particularly those of us who don't have kids. You know, you think, well, you know, Sally or Billy, or they're going to get a little cranky, and that's fine when you take off. But then I've been on those flights where, and I feel bad for the parent, because the parent, you know, but it's like, holy criminy sakes alive. That literally, Peter, that's why I bought noise-canceling headphones. I'm serious.
See, I'm one of those guys on the flight that listens to music and just stares at the flight tracker.
I don't
watch movies. Maybe I'll read a book. Maybe I'll write a little bit. But I just watch that flight tracker the entire time.
I do too. Kindred spirits. I love to see where we're at. I like that. I like that, the flight tracker.
Especially the ones where you can toggle it like over the map
right.
or the satellite picture or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of a geography buff, so that's cool. All right. Oh, that was a fantastic. What a way to start off. Peter Apine of EPOM's World. Next headline.
All right. So this one's obviously very timely. It's been very cold all over the country, everywhere, basically except San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Headline reads, dude taking a pee in negative 33 degree weather gets his thing stuck to the ground.
We have to clean the, because there are certain things we can't say on the radio. So thank you. I appreciate that. So the headline, as we make it FCC compliant, dude taking a leak in negative 33 degree weather gets his schlong stuck to the ground. Now, I have several questions, but first explain.
Well, it's like the scene in A Christmas Story where the one kid gets his tongue stuck to the pole. except this man is an adult and he's drunk and he's outside at night outside of a club with his pants down and his entire member is frozen to the ground. And you can see, because there's like a group of security guards standing around, like making sure he's okay. And they're trying to lift him up, and they can't. He gets stuck.
But
yes,
I'm going to
put the video
questions.
On the screen so that Todd can see it.
Is he just well endowed, or is he a very short man? I mean, how do you get it stuck to the ground?
He must have fallen over.
Oh, see.
It's the whole fruit basket.
It literally shows it. So the poor guy is out taking a leak, and apparently he passes out, or at least stumbles.
Yeah.
He falls face forward, and his schlong is still out, and it freezes to the ground?
Well, I mean, if it's negative 33 degrees, you don't have that long before something like that happens.
I mean, our meteorologists warn us about this. I mean, exposure, you know, frozenness can happen quickly. We're talking like a legit negative 33, not with wind chill.
No, yeah. A legit negative 33.
Right.
3 degrees.
I mean, the moral of that story is, you know, don't whip it out when temperatures are below zero.
Yeah. Yeah, don't try to do like some frozen ramen challenge. It's not going to end well.
I mean, on behalf of men everywhere, ouch. I mean, really? I mean, how do you unfreeze it? I mean, what do you put down there? Because, I mean, does somebody have a warm washcloth?
I would imagine, yeah, just like a glass of hot water, something.
Or somebody else pee.
I mean, what do you do? Offer mouth to mouth? I mean, I don't know. I mean, how do you unfreeze it? I don't know. It depends on how good looking the guy is, I guess. I don't know.
That is some quick thinking, Todd.
Oh, Lordy. Okay.
Yeah, where's the Hoctua girl when you need her?
Because it's a public service in that case. It's a public service.
That's what it is.
All right. That was fantastic. All right, Peter Apine. And again, all of these headlines, this isn't silliness that's made up. This is actual human behavior that the great folks at epalmsworld.com compile for us. All right, next headline.
So this next one we also have audio for. I don't want to say too much about it. I want us to listen to it.
Do you want to give us
the headline? Yeah, I'm going to give you the headline. It's short and sweet and to the point.
All right.
They trained a crow to be British.
They trained a crow to be British. All right, here we go.
I'm all right.
It may be a little hard for some of our listeners to hear, but the bird says, I think I'm all right, but in a British accent.
You all right, love?
Yeah, he's saying, are you all right, love?
Are you all right, love? That I've never heard a British crow or a British bird before.
No.
That's amazing.
No, I wish I had more context for it, but it's kind of the perfect piece to just absorb without knowing. Like, what do you need to know?
Right.
Right. A crow is speaking in a British accent. That's it. That's all I got to say about it.
Right. That's all you need to say. No,
it is beautiful, though. It's I think the British have like funny ways of saying things like, oh, you all right, love. Like it just sounds funny. So to hear a crow say it, you can't really tell the difference. Like that could be a British person if I didn't have the video. I would have no idea.
Yeah. It's fantastic. And again, it shows that no matter where you're from, whether it's kids or birds, apparently, I mean, they mimic what they hear. It's just think about that, your surroundings, how much it means to a person.
Well, there is another famous bird video of, I think it's a bird of a guy who has Tourette's, or it's a parrot. And the parrot had like learned all these like terrible curse words.
Oh yeah. Cause that's a real thing.
Maybe next week, in 2 weeks I can find it and we can do like a classic roundup.
Birds.
The bird, this animal services come to take the bird away and the bird is just like cussing them out for like 3 minutes straight.
Oh my gosh, really?
Like, F you, F you, F you,
oh
F you.
Oh my gosh.
Pretty famous old video that we've had on the site for years. I'll find it and share it with you guys.
The world, the wild and wacky of animals as well as humans. All right, Peter Ray Pine, next headline.
All right. So we do some service journalism, not a ton, but this was probably be one of those stories for us. So headline reads, here's what it's like to rent a fat man in Japan.
Here's what it's like to rent a fat man in Japan. Again, several questions. The first line in the story is, it looks like fun. Explain.
So in Japan, there's an app service where you can hire people to put up a bookshelf, or you can hire people to do all sorts of jobs. But on the service, you can also just hire fat men. And there is a weight limit. You have to be over 220 pounds to qualify as one of these rentable fat men. And the video that we have is just made by an Instagram influencer. He's like a travel influencer. Mm. And so he interviews the guy and he asks him, like, what do you mostly get rented for? And surprisingly, not very surprisingly, he gets rented to eat food mostly.
Rented to eat food.
People like to take him out to dinner because he's a big guy.
What's the payoff?
I don't know. I think maybe there's like a fetish thing in there where like people like to watch a bigger man eat, or maybe it's people that want to have company.
I mean, I don't get it. I mean, dude, like if you could eat that entire bowl of spaghetti in one sitting, I will be bricked. I mean, who says that? I mean, I don't get it. You rent as they use the term, a fat man, but not to like carry anything or I don't know, just to take him out to eat.
I mean, it sounds like the perfect job.
Well, sure. I mean, if you like to
you
eat,
you don't have to. Yeah. He also said he gets rented sometimes to be a security guard.
Well, that I can see.
And he has been rented for photo shoots where people wanted to take photos of him.
Really?
He didn't specify if they were like sexy or naked photos.
Right.
But yeah, I guess in Japan, it's a thing you can do. You can rent big boys.
Does this have to do with a sumo wrestling?
I do not think so. No.
All right.
The limit here is like the minimum weight is 220 pounds. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the average sumo guy is, but I'd imagine they're much
probably
bigger
heavier.
Than that.
Yeah, probably heavier.
Yeah.
All right. Well, stay around. Don't go anywhere, folks. Breaking news headlines like these from EPOM's World and Peter Raypine are straight ahead. We'll wrap up the week. Zommers, Raypine, Allball on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th President of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock. On the top of the hour, ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations across Civic Media you are listening to around the state. Quick check of weather by our great meteorology team and the wonderful and talented Mr. Mike Clemens. Our sports reporter brings you a sports update as well. And then get ready for another 2 hours more of great, fantastic conversation, news, information. Maggie Dawn of the Maggie Dawn Show will be along from 2 until 4, followed by Dom Selvia, 4 to 6, Mr. Pete Schwabba and Nightlight from 6 until 8, Rick Smith Across America, and then our friend Mr. Robert Pilot with Native Roots Radio. So keep it tuned right here to Civic Media throughout the day. Right now we're joined, as we are every other Friday, for a week in review, a humorous look at the actual real human behavior of wild and wacky humans, the managing editor of EPOM's World, Mr. Peter Apine, joining us via StreamYard. Always a pleasure, Peter. Next headline, my friend.
Yes, next headline. This one comes to us from a hip-hop artist, a producer who has, I don't want to say fallen out of favor, but maybe he's not as big as he used to be, a man by the name of Rick Ross.
Rick Ross.
If you grew up in the 90s, 2000s, you probably know him. Well, Rick Ross has been in, he's been in Africa filming a new record or producing a new album. And the headline reads, Rick Ross is convinced he's being followed by drones that look like birds.
Rick Ross is convinced he's being followed by drones that look like birds. Explain.
So he's filming from like his porch, his veranda in South Africa, and he's filming a bird.
Right.
In the sky. And he's talking like, y'all ain't smart. I know that's a drone. I know y'all are following me. Y'all are watching me like clearly a bird. Because he thinks someone out there is spying on him.
Right.
A governmental body. Maybe it's Meek Mill or Puff Daddy. Who knows? But Rick Ross is clearly going through it.
he's going through stuff. And do you think he's doing this for, as they say, content to get people to watch? Or do you think he actually believes that some of these birds are drones?
Well, I'll say if he's doing it for content, it's not very good content. I think he could try harder.
Right.
No, he's probably just like, you know, he probably just smoked too much weed or, you know. Sure. Maybe he read too much into that New Jersey news a couple of weeks ago about those drones. Mm-hmm. But it's clearly just like a falcon in the video.
Well, there are no drones that look like birds that we know of anyway.
Well, they are. They do have them in China.
Really?
South Africa is a long way away from China. Yes, yeah. China actually does have like surveillance drones that look like birds that they,
wow,
you know, have surveilling people in cities. So it is a real thing.
All right.
So
I did not know
Mr.
that.
Mr. Ross isn't entirely paranoid, just mostly paranoid.
All right. Next headline, Peter Rapine.
Next headline. So TikTok did not get banned last week. Everyone was talking about TikTok, China. Americans were downloading a new app called Red Note. So this kind of was our way into that story. Americans are worried that China is winning the burger war.
Americans are worried that China is winning the burger war. All right, let's go.
And it's a video of like a Chinese food stand. And in America, when you think about burgers and you think about like burgers that get extras, right? The add-ons, you can really stuff things on it, an egg, bacon, an onion ring, fries, whatever. Americans take their burger technology and we stack it on top. We make our burgers like skyscrapers.
Right.
China has taken a new approach to this. Their burgers aren't getting taller. Their burgers are getting wider.
I'm watching video that you add on this story. It's amazing. Go ahead.
So instead of just like a normal burger that's like maybe too big to actually bite, it's an ingenious idea. Why not just make the burger fatter and wider in the sides? You can still bite it, but right? You get twice as much burger out of it.
And you're right.
Kind of an ingenious idea.
Ingenious is the word here, because to your point, you know, a lot of, you know, pubs now, whatever, you're right. So they want a smash burger, then they put an egg on there and a pickle and a half a chicken and a hot dog. And, you know, it's a foot high by the time you get done. And
you can't eat it.
Right, you can't eat it. So what we're seeing here at ebombsworld.com, I mean, literally these burgers and the buns are like the size of a small dinner plate.
If you've ever been to Cops in Milwaukee, they're even bigger than those.
All right, there you go.
Whoa.
So you're right. I think it is a genius. And here in China, they're putting pineapple on a burger. I've never seen that before.
I've never had that, but I do know that that's a popular thing. I think a better way for China and America to, you know, figure out our disputes with one another is not through like technology or war. I think it probably is best done through burgers. Like, we should have a burger war.
I'll put a Culver's burger up against this any day of the week.
Right?
A butter burger.
Petition the next Olympics. Right? We'll do a burger challenge, a burger off.
It's going to be in L.A. It's going to be in Los Angeles. Craig Culver has got his own plane. We could fly out Culver's burgers and chefs to take these people on in a side deal. I bet you our friend Kelly Call down at Hermosa Beach at the Underground Pub. We'll have it there at the Underground Pub in Hermosa Beach, Culver's versus China for the best burger in the world. We figured it out, Peter.
Yeah. It's low, right? Everyone eats. It's good right? time.
It's good time. As my former high school or my middle school history teacher, Ken Lewis, likes to say, a good time had by all. Peter, it's always a pleasure. We always have a great time when you're with us. We thank you for your work. All these stories and more can be found at ebombsworld.com. Peter, thank you so much. We'll see you in a couple of weeks, my friend.
Thanks, Todd. Thanks, Aaron. Have a great one.
Yep, thank you. Thanks to Peter. Thanks to Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. Thanks to Brady Ewing, to Aaron Zomers and the board. All of you watching on the stream and across the state of Wisconsin on the airwaves and the Civic Media Record Network, we thank you. We'll see you on Monday. Until then, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. Have a great weekend. Maggie Dawn is next.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Earl Ingram.
On the next show, we'll talk about racial justice with Lisa Jones and Eric Fanning from Red Racism Milwaukee. Then we'll talk with internationally renowned actor and Milwaukee native Casey Washington.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Tariffs have gone into effect on goods shipped to the U.S. from Mexico, Canada, and China, the nation's three largest trading partners. ABC's Selena Wang has more.
Experts say American families could pay $830 more on average this year because of those tariffs, with higher prices for fresh produce, alcohol, clothes, electronics, cars, and more. And those tariffs on oil and gas could hike prices at the pump by as much as 70 cents per gallon.
Mexico's president says she regrets the news that six Mexican nationals were killed in Friday's Philadelphia plane crash. The group died when the medical flight crashed shortly after takeoff. At least six people on the ground treated for injuries. In the Washington, D.C. area, the recovery operations continue in the Potomac River after Wednesday's deadly collision between a jet and an Army Black Hawk helicopter. And Keith Siegel is the first American hostage to be freed by Hamas. Three were released today. This is ABC News. Nearly a month after they erupted and devastated the Los Angeles area, the two largest wildfires in the region are fully contained. ABC's Jory Rand says the massive cleanup is now underway.
Altadena is a flurry of activity. Cleanup crews, utility workers, and the United States Environmental Protection Agency. As outlined by LA Mayor Karen Bass, this is phase one in the process of getting people back to their properties. These crews are going home by home, meticulously digging through the rubble to remove potentially hazardous waste.
McDonald's announced changes to a scholarship program for Latino students who work at its restaurants. The HACER program, founded in 1985, was challenged in a lawsuit by the American Alliance for Equal Rights. The scholarship awards is for students with at least one Latino parent. McDonald's says in a settlement it will now open the program to any student who could demonstrate an impact or commitment to the Latino community. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes.